Welcome you to the
this conference will now be recorded.
Product approval talk meeting. My name is Thomas Campbell. If you are not speaking, please put your phone on mute so we don't have any interference. And throughout the call, we will have some opportunities for folks to comment. If you want to make a comment, please let us know. And if we happen to skip through and you don't have a chance to say anything, just speak up and let us know, because we want to make sure that everybody has a opportunity to comment. And at this time, I will take the roll call of the members of the POC. Commissioner Hershberger.
Yeah, present.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Gilson. Commissioner Swope. Right, and if the members of the staff could identify themselves, please.
Justin Vogel.
Jim Hammers.
And I believe we have Mo Madani and Robert Benbow on the phone, and I am Tom Campbell. I'm going to help to moderate. This meeting at today. That'll take care of our first item, so I will turn it over to the chairman for the next few items.
Thanks, Tom. So everyone's had a chance, and welcome everybody to this meeting. Everyone's seen, I think, the posted agenda. Are there any changes to the posted agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
Compton, move to approve.
A second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I heard everyone say aye, so I won't even ask for opposed. Motion passes unanimously. Are there any revisions or additions to the posted meeting minutes for the February 1st, 2022 meeting? And if not, is there a motion to approve the minutes and report as posted?
Compton, move to approve.
Need a second? Thanks, Brian. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion passes again unanimously. Now let's move on to the product approval, entities, and statistics report. Mo, could you provide a report on this item?
Yeah, this is Mo Madani. Good morning. Unfortunately, we have a technical glitch in the system. We were unable to generate the report at this time, so I apologize for that.
Great. All of the conditions from the February 8, 2022 commission meeting have been met on the conditional approvals. Do you have anything else to report on that, Mo?
No, not really. I think we're good on this one.
Okay, great. There's no POC action required for either of those agenda items. Next, we'd like to consider and discuss the complaint against SoftLight by Mrs. Sylvia Lino. Tom is going to facilitate this portion of the meeting. Tom.
All right. Is Ms. Lino or anyone who's representing Ms. Lino on the line today?
Ms. Lino's on the line.
All right. And Good morning. And you'll be representing yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Is anyone representing Softlight LLC on the line today?
Peter Langan, representing Softlight.
Peter Langan. Anybody else or just you?
You also have Mike Daniel representing Softlight, and my last name is V as in Victor, A-N-N-I-E-L. And then we also have with us Rick Wright. I should note that Rick Wright is the head of our Florida lab, and Mr. Langan is Softlight's director of technical services.
Okay, great. Thank you. Justin Vogel, the commission's legal counsel, is going to discuss the legal framework for reviewing complaints within the product approval program at this time. Justin?
Good morning, POG members. All right, so the commission has received complaints against a contractor, the building department of the town of Southwest Ranches, and an approved product manufactured by Softlight LLC. The commission has no jurisdiction regarding the complaints against the contractor or the building official and inspectors. The complainant has been directed to the appropriate licensing boards for those issues. The commission and the POC will be concerned solely with any issues pertaining to the product in question, which appears to bear product number 15781.14, Softlight Series Barcelona Model TSL301 Horizontal Sliding Impact Window. Product was originally approved for the 6th edition of the Florida Building Code, and the original windows in the complaint would have been part of that approval. The complaint also alleges that some of the windows were replaced at an indeterminate time after the original installation, and this may have occurred after the product was subsequently approved for the current 7th edition of the code. There doesn't appear to have been any change that occurred in the product, which was approved between code editions, so I think we can just consider the complaint as addressing one product. With respect to how to evaluate the complaint, Rule 61G20-3.0141B of the Florida Administrative Code specifies that substantially affected party complaints shall be based on one or more of the provisions of Rule 61G20-3.013. These provisions have been provided for you on the agenda. From my review of the complaint, it would appear that there are two that may be relevant. These are, one, a possible failure to maintain quality assurance programs for the manufacturer of the approved product, or two, failure to correct manufacturing deficiencies required to bring the product within the approved specifications, or otherwise demonstrate that the product's performance complies with standards established by the code. So the task of the POC this morning is to determine whether the complainant has provided substantial material evidence of a possible violation of one of these provisions that would warrant initiating an investigation and to make a corresponding recommendation to the commission. The complainant has provided information about her observations of the product, its installation, and the tests which were conducted on one of the windows in situ. The POC should consider the relevance of these various allegations to the violations which are listed in 61G20-3.013, subparagraph 1 of the Florida Administrative Code. In the event that the Commission approves an investigation, it will be conducted either by the manufacturer's evaluation entity or potentially the validation or quality assurance entities. If you have any questions during your deliberations, please feel free to consult me.
Thank you. Does anyone from the POC have any questions about the legal framework? Any members of the public? No? Or anyone from Softlight? All right, so at this time, we will give Ms. Lino an opportunity to present her complaint to the POC. Ms. Lino, the floor is yours.
I'd like to read something, if you don't mind, before I present.
Before you do, I just want to make sure that you're not planning to read your entire complaint, because they've seen it, we've posted it to the agenda. Is it an abbreviated version?
More or less.
Okay.
But I My complaint is I purchased these windows from a local contractor named Paradise Exterior. These windows, when I purchased them, they were specified to be Miami-Dade County proof product. It was after they were installing the windows that I realized that they are a Florida building approved product, which I didn't know. I'm a consumer, and as a consumer, I only know what I hear or what somebody recommends. I don't have any anything in construction. I don't have anything in codes or standards or anything like that. So all this to me was French. It's still a little French to me. I have done some investigations, and I do find out that the way that the windows are tested and approved are three-point measure, which is the manufacturing, the glazing, and the installation of the product. I also understand, correct me if I'm wrong, that the product is tested a certain way, and it has to be installed a certain way. That it has to pass tests for water and air infiltration. It has to pass the tests for the impact. So it has a bunch of tests, and it has a bunch of companies. The AAMA is one company. My window supposedly has a gold certification. This gold certification says that it's a sample of 50 of the windows that pass performance tests for resistance of air leakage and water penetration and wind pressure, in addition to unit testing individual components of the windows that pass. So this gold certification that my window has is the top. And it specifically tests for those areas that I have an issue with these windows. These windows, when I first purchased them and they were installed, like I said in my thing, they were installed, no bucking, which I know that you need a bucking for windows. I didn't even know what bucking was. Came to inspect them a bunch of times, and every time that they've come to inspect the windows, they have failed. This company, in the very beginning, when I talked to the owner of the company, Mr. David Becker, I talked to his brother, Eric. I wasn't getting nowhere with him. I talked to David Becker, and we decided to come and meet, and he decided to have the salesman of the company come out and look at the windows, because as I was investigating, I was seeing that the lamination of these windows was not done by a Florida building approved laminator. I think I sent a picture of the one of the windows, and there's also some windows that had no lamination, no etching, none whatsoever. So there's a bunch of problems that I have with this window, to the point that they decided that they needed to replace these windows. The second set of windows that I got didn't have as many issues, but they still had some issues. And to get this resolved, I just said, you know, the scratches or the little bumps or whatever, I'm willing to overlook that. But I'm not willing to overlook something that is going to protect me from the next storm. That is what's standing between me and me either losing my life. Property you can replace, life you can't. So I made a big commitment, and I made a big expense in getting the best out there, supposedly, because as you know, you have all different kinds of prices on these windows. I didn't even know that there was windows that were impact windows that you needed to put shutters up in there. I think the public is very misinformed and reference to these impact windows. I think the public, and I think the Florida Building Code, needs to make a website that's customer friendly, that can explain when you're out there shopping for these windows what to look for, what to test, what company is this. This window needs panels. This window doesn't need panels. If you're up above three floors, I believe that you don't need the dervish, you just need the wind. So there's a lot of things that, as a normal consumer, I'm not aware of. And since this is, the Florida Building Code was established after the disaster of Andrew, which I in particular experienced that as a service technician for the phone company. I was there 3 days after Andrew, and I saw the devastation of what Homestead became. I set up the internet communications for the National Reserve to come in. I unfortunately also have suffered a fire that I almost lost my son. So the windows to me are protection, and there's something that I was replacing. My windows had no issues. I was scared of the panels. the panels when you're inside a house and God forbid there's a fire, how are you going to get out? And that every time when June came around, that was my issue. How do you, does somebody that has an emergency in the house get out of these houses with panels? You know, this, you're going to come in and just get a hammer to it or whatever. As I told you, I was in a fire. A 10-minute fire, you can't see anything. And more than likely, you will not be getting out of that house. And that was an issue of why I decided to go with Softlight, which was presented to me as being one of the best window companies out there in the market. They had what I was looking for. However, what I wasn't looking for was to have all these problems. And like I said, I was constantly talking to Paradise Exterior. I refer them. I even called Softlight to ask them, and they refer me to Paradise Exterior because they do not talk to the consumer. They only talk to their vendors. I was getting nowhere. The same issue kept coming. Every time we had a bad storm back in October, I don't know if you remember now, we had storms, and I was looking out, and as I'm seeing water coming into my windows, and I'm saying, where are they coming from? That is something that, you know, to me, for a window to allow that much water to come in, it doesn't make sense to me. My old windows never let water come in. They also say that I cannot wash these windows with a garden hose because these windows will leak. Well, if water's coming in, so is air. Air is going out and air is coming in. That's another issue because, as you know, the air pressure when you have a storm, if you have any kind of change in the house, that can blow your roof, that can blow your doors, that can blow your windows. So it's not only the water, but it's also, if water's coming in, so is air. I have looked at these windows. Like I said, I have no construction background or nothing. And I'm seeing at the very top of these windows where there's like L that's etched out that leaves enough space for this water to come in, for this wind to go out. It's not a little slot. It's a big slot. And it's only covered by a felt. I advise Paradise Exterior that, you know what, I think you need to talk to the manufacturers because I think there's an issue with how this window, you know, was built. My other issue that I have is these windows are tested out of a batch of windows. It's not every window is tested independently. No, they get the window and they test it. They put in the right blocking. They put in the right screws. They put in everything, and that's how the window passes. Well, if you bring it to my house and you change any of those things that you do on this window, that in its fact, then it's not no longer a passing window. That window has some other type of issues because it's not reproduced in my house the way that it passed. And then furthermore, I learned that some of these engineers can also sign up on the windows, I believe. And so to me, my complaint is I have windows that I bought that I'm paying for, and that they are not doing what the NOA say they're doing. They're not doing what the AAMA says it's doing. They're not doing what these windows are supposed to do. And that worries me because I might not be the only person out there, and this might not be the only company out there that is not, you know, adhering to the codes and standards of the Florida Building Code. Florida Building Code is something that was devised to save lives and property. If we have windows that after they pass their test, come out to the customer's house, and because of whatever, they get tested and they fail, then I think that that window needs to be looked at and that window needs to be changed. And any window that's manufactured as that window needs to be looked at. I spoke to Mr. Modani way back. I've been dealing with this for almost 3 years. And I spoke to him way back because I really didn't know how does the inspectors come out and inspect windows. The inspector of the city of Selfish Ranches, I went to him and I said, listen, I got some windows and I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. They fog up. The other day the temperature changed in my home. We got a cold front coming in and my windows fogged up. There was actually water on the inside of my windows. So their way that they inspect this is they look at the NOAs. Okay. They never mention if they look at any of the laminations. They never mention any of that. They just compare what's on the permit to what's on the window. I have an NOA that tells me that this is a product's been approved, and it compares to whatever Florida code or state code you have, and they're fine with that. Then they'll come and they'll check the screws. My windows were installed in one day. There was no inspection of bucking. There was no inspection of any. The inspector showed up the next day. I had been taking pictures because I was nervous at the way that these installers were installing these windows. They were grinding. They were tearing stuff apart. And I'm like, you know, I've seen regular windows put in, but I've never seen impact windows put in. So I didn't know if it was just me being nervous or whatever. They brought a window that was broken and they installed it, and I called Paradise Exterior. Nobody ever returned my calls. So the only reason that the windows didn't pass bucking that day was because when I took a picture, there's no wood, there's no bucking on the bottom of any of the windows. There was nothing. The bucking that was there existing was the bucking that they put the original windows on. So how is the consumer supposed to protect themselves and know what's going on if your website, the Florida Building Code website, is too technical for somebody to comprehend? And then the only people that they're getting any information about windows and what windows do are the people that are selling you the windows. And then the person that's supposed to have your back, which is the city, is ignoring things. I tested a window for the water intrusion because according to Soft Light and Paradise Exterior, that is the only way that I could prove that my windows had air and water intrusion into it, infiltration. I tested it. I gave them the report. That was back in August. Since August to now, they have done nothing. They came last month in February to do a visual inspection. I believe that one of the persons, Mr. Peter Lang, was there. He did a visual inspection that took him maybe 10, 15 minutes. Their only issue that they came was to get the city to pass these windows. When I gave the city the report back in August, the city inspector told them that unless they could challenge it or prove that the windows didn't have this kind of problem, that they were not going to pass a final on these windows. Well, on and behold, they did pass the final on this window. Even after the building official, Brian Dillon, passed it, I had the normal inspector come, the one that was always coming and having to correct the installation. No, you got to change this, you got to change that. He came back after the fact, and he failed these windows. And I just sent Mr. Momadani because I was looking through what I had sent in there, and I saw that I failed to send that report. That report is the correction from the normal builder inspector, which is a Mr. Mario Quinones. And it's a building code inspection correction notice. And I'll read you the following. The violation is failed window inspection, deficiency one, install windows, don't comply with TAS 202, requirements for water intrusion, resistance, and uniform static air pressure of HVAC, high velocity hurricane zones. Two, Florida Building Code 2411.3.2.1, operative windows and doors assemblies shall comply with TAS 202. Three, signed and sealed failed test report provided by a Florida professional engineer.
Ms. Lino, it's Tom Cannon. Tom Campbell, you've got two more minutes, okay?
So, I have windows that supposedly, according to the city, have passed, with an open engineer report telling me that they failed. So how do we fix this?
And that's what we're here to talk about today. But do you have any more comments that you would like to add for POC, or are you good?
No, the comments was that they are attempting to come out here and put a little bit more felt. This, according to them, will not stop the water intrusion, but it will help.
Okay. Do any members of the POC have any clarifying questions for Ms. Lino?
Tom and Brian, so I'll just ask a couple here, and it's just... Okay, so the windows that we've got that were installed, there's a product approval number on it, there's a product approval, all the above on it. They've got an installation requirements, installation instructions, installation manual. Were these windows installed per manufacturer specification?
Per manufacturer specification?
Because it sounds to me, I think you've got two totally separate, a couple separate issues. and I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but it sounds like you've got a couple issues. One, you're telling me that there's a buck require, a wood bucking requiring, there's no wood bucking in there. If I, you know, I'm in the roofing business. If I put a roof up on, with no nails, we're going to have an issue. And it's not necessarily the manufacturer's issue if I don't install it correct. The other issue is, it sounds like you bought something from a sales rep, from whoever your, the company, your window installer, sounds like you thought you bought a set of windows and got something different. If that's the case, that wouldn't necessarily be on the product. That'd be on your company, your installer, on their issue.
The installer and the company that I bought it from are the same company. I didn't go to Softlight and get the windows from them and then hire an installer to install it.
Right. We understand that.
And in reference to the bucking at the bottom of all the windows, there was no bucking. The way that they repair that, or they fix it, or they try to fix it, was that they put, after the window was installed, they put concrete.
Okay, but my question is, when you took the old windows out, there was a wood buck that was in there from your old original top window, but you're sliding glass door, basically.
I don't have a sliding glass. No.
Okay, your operational window.
Yes, there was wood bucking in. Yes.
When they installed that, did they remove the old bucking?
They removed some of the old bucking. They removed the old bucking. They installed new buckings in certain areas, but none of the windows on the bottom, have wood bucking.
And the installation manual, the requirements call for wood bucking, correct?
Correct.
So that would be more of an installation issue than it would be on the windows, correct?
I assume, yes.
Okay. So, I'm all for it, but it sounds to me like this is falling back on the installer and the company that you purchased, the company that you hired to install these windows for an installation issue, where
that
a lot of these problems may be residing.
That part might, but why about the wind and water infiltration that was done by the engineer that the window failed?
And we'll talk and we'll talk about that some more too, I'm sure. Does any other members of the POC have any questions for Ms. Lena?
This is Dave Gilson, if I may.
Sure.
All right. So as she mentioned earlier on, you know, she's a consumer and she doesn't have a depth of knowledge on this, which is a reasonable statement. You know, we're all consumers of something that we don't have a depth of knowledge on. So, when these windows or any product that has a product approval or an NOA are tested, they're tested under very controlled circumstances. It's defined prior to the test what those controlled circumstances are. You know, certain temperatures, certain wind velocities, certain installations, but they're tested under very, very tight standards that cannot be recreated in the field. So to say that someone tested it in the field and it failed that test, although completely possible and maybe even to the point of probable, it wouldn't be the same test as what was tested in a controlled environment. As an analogy, when you buy a brand new car, they'll tell you get 45 miles a gallon, and that's tested under a very controlled environment, and you will never ever get 45 miles a gallon how we drive in the real world. So it's virtually impossible to create that test after that product leaves the manufacturer. As Mr. Swope said, I'm in the inspection business, so I on a day-to-day basis, you know, on a weekly basis, I probably look at 20, 30 window door installs. And I would say rough numbers, maybe 15 to 20% of them fail on any given inspection. And it's virtually always on installation techniques. If anything is not done either precisely or very, very, very close to what the manufacturer says, it will not meet the standard that was met during the testing. So it's unlikely that the testing is flawed because it's under very controlled circumstances. And generally with more than one entity looking at it, but it seems as though this is an installation problem or scenario that's causing the windows to not act as they should or protect as they should.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm on the phone, so that's just an opinion.
Sure. Do any of the other members of the PAC have any questions or comments for Ms. Leno? And if not, we'll go to Softlight to allow them to comment on the complaint as well. So any other members of the PAC? Okay, do any of the representatives from Softlight want to comment on the complaint? You don't have to if you don't want to. We just want to give you an opportunity.
Sure, thank you. This is Mike Van Neel for Softlight. I just wanted to pass along to the PAC that the windows that are currently installed in Ms. Leno's home comply with all of the specifications required under Florida law and applicable regulations. Based on the commentaries that we've heard, if there's an issue at all with how they were installed, I've heard nothing from Ms. Leno to suggest that we failed really to do anything. We certainly sympathize with her concerns. And I would add that our understanding is that there has been a mediation of some sort that has taken place or maybe ongoing as between Ms. Leno and Paradise, the dealer to which we sold these particular windows, and that hopefully the matter is close to a resolution. We don't know that for sure because we have not been involved, nor should we be. But what I've heard described really is if there's an issue at all, it has to do with installation. I would note that when these windows were installed, the actual chief building inspector in the jurisdiction that presides over Ms. home where she's located signed off on the windows and their installation at the time. All that being said, Softlight is very committed to making sure that consumers are happy, and we routinely work with our dealer networks to facilitate resolutions of these sorts of issues, and would certainly be willing to cooperate in providing, among other folks, Mr. Langan, who has joined us today, to assuage her concerns to the extent that we possibly can. But this is not really a manufacturing issue, certainly not one that would warrant the opening of an investigation. If there's an issue at all, it has to do with installation based on everything that I've heard. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Now we'll go to Mo to please present any other information that we think the PAC should have while reviewing the complaint.
Tom, can you share the screen with me?
Sure. Hold on one. All right, you should have got the invitation.
Got it. All right. And Can you see the what I have on the screen?
Got it, Mo.
All right. Thank you. This is Mo Madani. Good morning. I'm here just really to give you a general note about the situation and, you know, just and explain to you how things are done and all that with regard to the State Product Approval Program. First of all, as Justin said, really this product or the application, 15781, has been part of the State Product Approval Program since 2010. So, and, you know, this application has been revised 12 times, and one of the products that were approved in 2017, or under the 2017 for the building code, is FL 15781.14, and this product was, you know, is also approved under the 2020 code. So we're talking about products that really meet the current for the building code. One thing I want to share with you is that I think this came up a number of times about the installation issue and all that. I just want to make sure you understand that where the commission authority lies with regard to this issue. The commission authority is limited in scope to issues related to the product approval application, which is in this case FL 15781. So if it has to do with the application itself, then it's a commission issue. Issue related to the installation of the product fall outside the commission authority and are subject to inspection and approval by the local authority having jurisdiction. So anything has to do with the installation, how the product is installed, or any deficiency with regard to installation, we have no authority to address, and the commission too. So I would not get into that. So first of all, you know, this application, as I mentioned, the 15781 has been with us for some time, and the product, the manufacturer is SoftLight, as you know, and the product that was tested on site in the field is Barcelona model TSL301. It's a sliding window and it's an impact resistance. This product is approved for use in both the high velocity hurricane zone and the non-high velocity hurricane zone. As you know, if you are in the high velocity hurricane zone, the windows have to be tested to the high velocity hurricane zone standard, which is in this case TAS 201, 202, and 203. Which this product did demonstrate that it meets those standards. The testing was done by Testing Evaluation Lab, Inc. This is an approved commission test lab and a test lab that has been accredited nationally, and the test report signed by us for the licensed engineer. And also, as you know, with the State Product Approval Program, we do require that the product is manufactured under the Quality Assurance Program. And we do have a quality assurance, FARPA Engineering and Testing, Inc. The compliance method that's used to put this together is the evaluation report from an engineer. So we have an engineer who wrote the evaluation report to justify compliance with the code based on testing. So that's really how the product and the application approved at the state level. With regard to the complaint, as stated here, is that there were a field test done using ASTM E1105. The testing is standard, type of standard test method for field determination of water penetration of installed exterior window, skylight, door, and curtain wall by uniform or cyclic. The test was done by engineering consultant LLC. This is not a, you know, the group is not a test lab or approved test lab. And they provided a test report. Sure, they attempted to, when they did the testing, to simulate the lab, mainly by, you know, testing to a design pressure of 15%, to 15% of the design buzzer pressure. However, the testing provided some observations. So he said, you know, they came up with four observations. The first one, they said, during the test, water infiltration was observed entering under the frame sill bottom right corner approximately on a 1 minute into the test. This observation, it has to do with an installation. Has nothing to do with the product as manufactured. So there's an installation issue. And sure, you know, if there's a problem with how the door window is installed, sure, you're going to have a water leak. The number, item number for observation B, it says that during test C001D, water infiltration was observed entering under the frame sill bottom right and left corner are approximately 3 minutes into the test. Same thing. This has to do with the cell, which is not, is an installation issue and it's not a manufacturing issue. So the number C, it says during test T00C, water infiltration was observed entering it through the glazing pocket of the left operable vent approximately 1 into the test. So I'm not sure if, there was no quantitative information to show that it could be this. This could be a manufacturing issue. I'm not sure. I think it's something, it needs to be looked at. Number D is, it says during the test, T001C, water infiltration was observed overflowing the frame cell at the bottom left corner. Same thing. This is an installation issue. So three of the four observations, it all has to do with the installation of the product and having nothing to do with the product itself as manufactured and approved. The report said test result failed without, having no specific documentation with regard to what level and all that. One thing we, reviewing ASTME 1105, I reviewed the 2008 and also the latest edition 2015. There is one specific, significant and huge issue that they bring into the report to show that, hey, there's going to be a difference between testing a product in the lab and testing a product in the field. And the statement saying laboratory tests are designed to give an indication of the performance of an assembly. Field performance may vary from laboratory performance since supporting structure for the test, the specimen, method, or mounting and sealing in the lab can only simulate the actual condition that will exist in the building. And it starts saying shipping, handling, installation, act of subsequent trade, aging, and other environmental conditions all may have an adverse effect upon the performance of the installed product. So they say, hey, when you do the field test or comparing to the lab test, you're going to see some variation. The other thing I'll bring to your attention is that the standard ASTM E1105 that was used as the field test. This standard is not really referenced in the Florida Building Code. And currently there is no provision in the Florida Building Code which requires that you have to do a field test of an installed window. That's really just a fact, about what I've, reviewing the material provided. If you have any question about what have really presented to you, please do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mo. Do any members of the PAC have questions for Mo? Any members of the public with any questions for Mo?
Can I ask a question?
I'll come to you in a second, Ms. Lena. So no one from the public, no one from the public. All right. Ms. Lino, do you have any questions for Mo?
Yes. On the test, number C, he put three installation and C is a question mark. Obviously, we don't know if C is a manufacturer issue or an installation issue.
How do we go about establishing that? What is C? Because, and the other question I have is, the Florida Building Code tests these windows in a lab. I understand that. I can't do that because that would be taking my window out and taking it to a lab to get it tested. So there's going to be a difference. I understand that. But for these windows to get their NOAs, I believe that they're tested in the way that they're manufactured, installed, and all that has to almost replicate what is done when they are tested. So I don't understand the issue of, you know, a car will run, they'll tell you it runs 40 miles an hour, but, you know, if you drive it faster than 55, it's going to eat up more gas. But hopefully that the car will perform and it will be a safe car. Whether it uses less gas or more gas depends on the driver. These windows are not going to be taken in and out. They're going to be in my house. They're going to be protecting my home and my life. So that analogy to me doesn't make sense, because if you're testing these windows to provide water and air infiltration, to provide to stop anything from going through the windows and all that, just because you installed it in my house.
Miss Lino, hold on 1 second. Ms. Lino, do you have a question for Mo? We'll let you have a finishing comment.
I'd like to know,
before the complaint goes to the box, but we're looking for questions for Mo.
Number C, is that an installation issue or is that a manufacturing issue?
As you see, I left it without any indication. The reason for that is that, first of all, it is part of the window as manufactured. However, there is no enough information in the test as conducted to give, a clear indication of the level of the water infiltration or anything. Plus, the standard itself says, hey, when you test this window on site, you're going to see some variation. And that variation is going to be based on the environment, based on the how you configure the test and all that. So there's a lot of variables involved. All I try to hear is say, okay, I'm clear about those things. They are installation. But this one, I just leave it to you guys to decide. But I cannot tell you whether there is a manufacturing issue or there is not, because I don't have enough information to base the answer on. Plus, the standard itself does not help. The field test standard says, hey, you're going to see variation, no doubt. So I'm not sure. So at this point, I would leave it to the committee and to you guys,
Right. Mo, so that's left. Ms. Lino, that be something that the POC will take into consideration when making their recommendation, that was not clearly stated as a installation.
Hey, Tom, I have a question for Mo.
Sure.
Mo, D, as I'm reading the report, D says the water came over the sill. That's the way I'm reading it. I know you weren't there at the test. Does that mean the sill didn't weep? I mean, to me, that could easily be a installation causes a lot of problems and may cause sills to leak. I understand that. But if water's coming over the sill, not under the sill, is that a weep issue? Is that an installation? Was something blocked? Do you know?
I don't, but looking at it, I think, from also the pictures provided, it seems that's more of an installation to me. If somebody feel like it's not, that's fine with me. I'm doing observation similar to the person who did the test, which is mainly provided in observation. He didn't provide any specific detail. So by just looking at it and the description, I would say it's an installation. That's my take on it. No problem.
Okay. Ms. Lino, do you have any other questions for Mo specifically?
No. No,
okay.
Thank you.
Do anyone from Softlight have any questions for Mo?
This is Mike Daniel. Nothing for me.
Okay. other comments before the POC deliberates on the complaint?
Okay. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I understand that the codes and standards that the Florida Valley Code establishes is supposed to be all over. It's basically more here in South Florida than in North Florida or Central Florida. If we establish codes and standards, then those codes and standards are not taken into consideration when you're doing inspections, when you're doing modifications, when you're doing changes on the windows, and then what are the standards and codes for? Because if I build something and I per the standards and codes and I have it tested in a lab per the standards and codes, and then I take it out to my house and now the standards and codes say, well, you know what? Yeah, they should do this and this and this, but since it's at your home, it might not do this and this and this and this. So what is the reasoning behind having standards and codes if the only way that I can prove if there's a installation issue, if there's a manufacturing issue or anything like that would be to actually take my window back to the place where it was tested and have it retested. And the standards and codes have to also put into account that things happen. You can do a test on a window and like they say, during shipping, during this, during all that, something can happen to them and it causes that perfect window not to be so perfect anymore. So how do we address that?
All right, do you have any other comments for the POC?
My comment would be that if we really are to protect life and property, that these windows should be tested after they are installed. That is the only way that you're going to get a clear view of exactly what that window is able to handle and if it's still a perfect window or if it has some issues along the way.
Thank you. Do any of the representatives of SoftLight have any additional comments that they would like to make?
Sure. This is Mike Van Niel. Just very briefly. Again, we're certainly sympathetic to the complaint that Ms. Lino has filed. This is, as best we can tell, an installation issue. We would note that with respect to that item C that Mr. Modani identified, there was no quantitative or qualitative evidence that was presented to suggest that it was a manufacturing issue. With respect to the commentary about the website, you know, city requirements, criticisms of the Florida testing process and standards and codes and things of that sort, that's not something that SoftLight really can do about, and it's certainly not something that we should be held responsible for, that ought to trigger some sort of an investigation. And then I would conclude that by saying that, again, my understanding and our understanding is that there have been discussions, I'll call it a mediation, between Ms. Lino and Paradise to resolve the issue. And depending on how that shakes out, SoftLight is certainly committed to facilitating whatever needs to be done, you know, in terms of supplying parts, things of that sort, on a granular level, in order to put her mind at ease. But this is not a product issue and not a manufacturing issue from our perspective, and we don't believe that substantial evidence has been presented to the contrary, which I believe, and Mr. Vogel can contradict me if he wishes, but I believe that was his outline of the applicable legal standard at the outset of these proceedings.
Thank you. Would any of the members of the public like to?
I would like to ask one last question.
On the complaint, or the discussion of the complaint.
Mr. Campbell, this is Jamie Gaskin.
Hey, Jamie, I got your name. Anybody else? Go ahead, Jamie, and Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. One clarification that I wish to
make just for the record and to posterity here is that the term notice of acceptance, or acronym NOA, has been mentioned numerous times. I want to just put on record that this product is not based on a Miami-Dade County notice of acceptance. It is based on a Florida product approval having been tested to the standards of the high-velocity hurricane zone.
Okay.
That is all. Thank you.
Ms. Lino, you have one chance for one additional comment.
Paradise Exterior has an advertisement, and right there on their advertisement, it says Miami-Dade County approved. So, I don't know, and I would like to add to that comment. Softlight came out and replaced the original windows with other windows. If there's nothing wrong with the manufacturing of their windows, why was that done?
Thank you. All right, we will now move to Joe, do you want to make a comment?
Just a quick comment, Tom. Thank you. I don't have any interest, but I just wanted the POC to know that the field testing standard was submitted as a Florida Civic Mod back in the days when we called them Florida Civic Mods, and it was rejected by the commission. Just so you know that it has been considered and was not adopted. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We will now move to the members of the POC for a motion or more discussion.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Any other members of the POC would like to make a comment about this or initiate any additional discussion? I'll make a comment. I think most of you know my background, but we've manufactured a few million impact windows. We run our own test lab, and we do installations with one of our companies also. So I've been involved in all sides of these types of issues. And I looked at this pretty closely, and Mo and I had a pretty long discussion the other day about this product. And I certainly feel a lot of sympathy and empathy for Ms. Lino and what she's going through. I guess maybe I would have a question for Softlight and maybe for Justin. When you look at a product like this that has very specific installation instructions, who is responsible for making sure that dealer, that I'm assuming Paradise Windows or Paradise Installations is an authorized dealer of Softlight, who's responsible for making sure that that is done correctly, and how is that followed up?
Yes, Justin. I mean, I would think that maybe Mo could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the local building official who ensures that the installation has occurred correctly. And as far as sort of jurisdictional boundaries for it, I mean, if there's an issue with the contractor who, in the work that they've performed, then that is a separate jurisdictional issue that would fall under the Construction Industry Licensing Board, and the complainant in this case would need to file a separate complaint against the licensed contractor who is responsible for that. She's also raised issues concerning the local building department, and the Building Code Administrators and Inspectors Board would handle complaints pertaining to those licensees. So this is a multifaceted complaint, and the POC is strictly looking at whether the product, essentially the Florida-approved product, there's any substantial material evidence that a violation of the product approval rules, which have been provided to you, have been violated. And so I would look at it very strictly with respect to that. A multifaceted problem, and the commission's sort of jurisdictional interest in it is narrow.
Yeah, that matches pretty much what Mo and I talked about. Any other members of the POC have any comments? Would any members of the POC like to make a motion? Either that a formal investigation be initiated or that the complaint be dismissed. We'll need one of those
motions.
This is Dave Gelson. I'll make a motion that the complaint be dismissed.
Thanks, Dan. We have a motion on the floor. We have a second.
I'll second it. Sloan.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I think Dave Compton had to drop off. That the complaint be dismissed. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the unanimous vote that the complaint be dismissed.
All right, thank you. And just wanted to let Ms. Lino and Softlight know that the recommendation of the POC will be taken to the commission at their April 12th meeting, and the commission will then have the final vote on what they're going to do about the complaint. The commission's meeting on April 12th is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. So if you would like to participate in that meeting, you will need to be physically there. It is not going to be a webinar. And with that, we can move on to the next item on the agenda.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Let's move on to the consent agenda. Tom?
All right. The first consent agenda that we have in item number five is the review and approval of consent agendas of entity approval applications. We have 21 of those. Is there anyone from the public who wants to comment on any of those applications? All right. If not, then I will go to you.
All right. Thanks. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of the product approval entities recommended for approval as they were posted? I need a motion, guys.
Dave Gilson.
I make a motion.
Great. Great. We got a motion and a second at the same time. Thank you very much. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Let's now look at the product approval applications with comments. Tom.
All right. The first set of applications are the consent agenda of product approval app, the applications that are recommended for approval. We have 135 of those. Would anyone like to pull a product without comments from the consent agenda? Okay. All right. So I will go back to you.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of products without comments recommended for approval?
Dan Gilson, I'm going to approve.
Thanks, Dan. Second? Thank you. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We've got two more of these to do, guys, so hang
on. Right,
thanks.
We have the consent agenda of products with comments that are recommended for approval. There are three of those. Would anyone like to pull a product from this consent agenda? Any public comments? Okay, go back to you.
Right. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda, the three products recommended for approval with comments?
Dave Gilson, move to approve.
Thanks, Dan.
Second.
Thanks, Brent. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, and we've got one more on products with comments. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, the consent agenda of products with comments that are recommended for conditional approval. There are six of these. Would anyone like to pull a product from the consent agenda? Are there any public comments? Okay, back to you.
Great. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of products with comments recommended for conditional approval?
Dave Gilson, move to approve.
Thank you, Dan.
Second, Swope.
Thank you. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Motion again passes unanimously. And then I think there's one more comment here, but no action is going to be needed on it. Go ahead, Tom.
Yep, there are a total of 102 DBPR applications. All of the applications have been approved, so no further the action is needed.
Thanks, Tom. Is there any other POC business? Any public comment? Hearing none, are there any additional member comments? Are there any staff member comments?
No, thank you.
I do want to take a minute and thank Justin, Mo, and staff for looking into, digging into the complaint. I know it was complicated, and it took a lot of work behind the scenes. Appreciate all the time that everybody put in. And thanks to everyone on this call for their participation. And there being no further business, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.